CQ, 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 and welcome to Am Radio and More, the show that specializes in the great service that amateur radio provides. Your host is Lynn Winkler, KB7, LPW.
CQ, 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 and welcome to Ham Radio and More. I'm Len Winkler, KB7LPW. Today's show, sponsored in part by EDCO Electronic Distributors, MFJ Enterprises, and Exotic Research Report. Our phone number is 1-800-293-5366, 1-800-293-5366. Now, before we go any further, I have a special announcement. Effective next week, because of the time change, you know, there's a time change taking effect next week. Therefore, our show live will be 2200 UTC on Sundays. And on WWCR, the frequency will change to 12.160, 12160. Okay, effective next week, 12160 at 2200 UTC. Will be the new WWCR frequency. Now, if for some reason you don't hear us there, please try 5070 also. But we should be on 12160 next Sunday, 2200 UTC. And in Arizona, we will be on at 3 o'clock, at 3 p.m. instead of 4 p.m. for those of you listening on KFNN in Phoenix, Arizona. Okay, today our guest is going to be Stephen Bible, N7HPR. We're going to talk about spread spectrum technology, the new rules and regulations that have gone into effect, what you can do as spread spectrum and amateur radio. We've got a couple of other topics regarding spread spectrum technology. If you're interested in spread spectrum and you have any, that's a tongue twister to say it too many times, and you have any questions regarding it, don't hesitate to get online, 1-800-293-5366. 1-800-293-5366. We'll be right back with Stephen Bible right after this. Exotic Research Report. The new magazine edition is out. It's dedicated to the preservation of American independence, but I caution you, the issue contains 100% pure, unadulterated, mind-altering material. Really, this is a magazine you should subscribe to. What is in this month's? Crop Circles, an ongoing enigma. The Geet Machine, plasma technology you can buy. Implosion technology that you can build. An alternative way to cope with stress. All this and so much more. How about a HARP resource guide? You know, we've talked about HARP. How about magnetic motors and generators, mind control? All these things are available from an Exotic Research. Give them a call at 1-800-446-3465. That's 1-800-446-3465. They even got vitamins and other interesting things. But I'm telling you, Exotic Research Report in this new book is really good, a new magazine this month. 1-800-446-3465. Mention Ham Radio and More when you make the call. Exotic Research.
Here is a duck. Here is a dog. Here is a bunny.
In radio's 75-year history, there were many great radio acts. Ed Beeman's unmemorable Hand Shadows of the Airwaves was not one of them. Nor was Raymond P. Hamill, radio escape artist, one of radio's outstanding shows. That's why you won't find photos of any of these shows in Blast from the Past, a pictorial history of radio's first 75 years by B. Eric Rhodes. Nor will you find Sidney Feldscher in his long-forgotten Radio Mime Hour. What you will find in radio's first 75 years is over 900 rare photos of radio greats, from Fanny Bryce to Jack Benny to Howard Stern. This beautiful coffee table book will bring back fond memories, but not of this man, radio's first and last magician, the amazing Morty.
And now I will saw my assistant, Francine, in half.
Ow!
Call with your credit card handy, 800-228-5500, $39.99 plus shipping. That's 800-228-5500.
Looking for an MFJ pocket-sized Morse code tutor? The MFJ 418 is it, $79.95 or less. You can learn Morse code fast and anywhere. The LCD display lets you check your copy instantly. There's an easy no-code beginner's course, and it takes you beyond the extra class. There's customized practice, plain English, QSOs, word recognition mode, interactive mode. You can learn Morse code anywhere, anytime with this tiny MFJ Pocket Morse Code Tutor. This is it with the Plain English QSO practice helps you pass the FCC code exam. It's great. And it's $79.95 or less. That's the MFJ-418. It makes a great present also. That's MFJ-418. It's new. It takes you from the beginner's class all the way up. It has instant replay and so much more. Give them a call at 1-800-647-1800. That's 1-800-647-1800. Remember, they have the no matter what free warranty. It's tremendous. That's MFJ, 1-800-647-1800. Call them now.
CQCQ. This is Ham Radio and More with your host, Lynn Winkler, KB7 LPW.
Okay, we're back to Ham Radio and More. 1-800-293-5366. 1-800-293-5366. We're talking about spread spectrum technology. We're talking to Stephen Bible, N7 HPR. He is a naval officer. Obviously in the Navy, that's how you can become a naval officer. And he is on the board of directors of Tapper, and he certainly enjoys experimenting. He's a very technical individual. He enjoys AMSAT, very active in those activities, as well as their website, the ARRL Satellite Anthology. And he also helps with PanSat. We'll find a little about that. I know that it's an amateur satellite being built by the Naval School. And he's been licensed since 1985. Welcome to Ham Radio and More, Stephen.
Well, thank you.
Now, you were on my show once before, weren't you, when I wasn't here?
No. I think this is my first time.
Oh, okay. I thought that, for some reason, I thought that when I wasn't here one time, one of my co-hosts had you on, but then obviously I'm mistaken. But that's happened before. Let's talk about spread spectrum technology. First of all, for those who don't have any idea what we're talking about, give us a brief review of what it is.
Well, that's certainly a lot easier said than done. A brief overview of spread spectrum. Doing my best with it, I would try to describe spread spectrum in a modulation technique that you would employ, whereas your signal is spread over a wide spectrum of bandwidth, a lot wider than we're normally used to, for example, with CW or even with FM or single sideband. The conventional wisdom is that in order to get more users within a particular bandwidth of frequencies, you make everybody as narrow as possible. You slice it up into little bits and pieces, and then, of course, the narrower the slices, the more people that you can have within that same given bandwidth. Spread spectrum chooses to use that entire bandwidth instead. What it does for you is allows a lower power density, which is another term perhaps hams are not thoroughly familiar with. Instead of taking all of your energy, all of the power that's coming out of your antenna, and putting it in as narrow a bandwidth as possible, you take that same amount of power and then, of course, spread it out over tens of megahertz of frequency. Lowers your power density. Generally, somebody with a normal receiver would only hear noise, if anything, and your signal then is received by a spread spectrum receiver. And of course, it knows how to collect up all of that spread out modulation, collect it together, and then, of course, you have it received at the other end. Spread spectrum has two major flavors, one called frequency hopping and the other called direct sequence. Frequency hopping, as the name implies, it's a very narrow bandwidth that hops around in frequencies within a bandwidth very quickly, what is called a dwell time, hops through the whole sequence in what's known as a pseudo-random code. Whereas direct sequence, you take the digital signal that you're transmitting and you mix it in a doubly balanced mixer with a pseudo-random code, which then effectively spreads it continuously over the entire bandwidth. I guess then that kind of leads into, you know, what does this do for you? I mean, what are the benefits, right?
Right. Well, before we even get to what is the benefits, which, of course, is the next step, is many of the people out there who, you know, are not even hams, because being on shortwave and being on commercial radio stations, a lot of people listening are just technically interested in this show. I think their closest they come to spread spectrum technology would be the new 900 megahertz telephones.
Well, that's certainly one option. Another one that many hams don't, or technically people don't realize, is that the GPS receiver that's in your hands is also a spread spectrum receiver.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
The forefathers of the global positioning system back in 1970s chose direct sequence spread spectrum as the modulation technique that each of the satellites will employ. And if you have a chance to study up about GPS, you'll see that it was a very foresighted decision back then, when, of course, this is a navigational system that has no other equal, and that it allowed very low-power, small antenna receivers in your hands to be able to receive satellites that are many miles in the air. Other technologies you may not realize is that that power meter on the outside of your house probably has a spread spectrum transmitter inside it. Instead of the power person coming to read your meter, they have a handheld unit, and they just have to really just be in vicinity of your house. They transmit, interrogate your unit, and it transmits back and tells them what the meter reading is.
Well, I didn't realize that all these people, all these different devices use spread spectrum. So therefore, the technology has been around for how long?
Well, if we want to go back, let's see, the history of spread spectrum dates back to World War II.
Oh, really?
And it was more of a military research and development project, wherein the war in World War II, the war of frequency, of bands, of being able to try to communicate, so to speak, was one of jamming and anti-jamming. But of course, if many may know, if I try to transmit and I try to jam the enemy, then I can't transmit either. So mm-hmm. What they discovered was that the better way to transmit and to receive is to build a better transmitter and receiver, and what came out of that was spread spectrum, of all things. It's quite a very interesting history. The first ham to even come up with the idea of spread spectrum and amateur bands dates back to 1959 to John Costas, W2CRR, in a very famous paper that he wrote. And it may not be a paper that was written for hams to hams, but since John Costas was a ham himself, he used the amateur bands as a description, as a model for something that spread spectrum that could be used in that of we're not very coordinated, so to speak. You can dial across the HF bands, and of course we don't have channels. We don't say, oh, I'll meet you on channel 10 or 12. You know, we say we meet each other on a certain frequency, give or take, depending mm-hmm. upon the QRM. Well, with that in mind, John Costas, of course, thought of the chaotic nature of the ham bands and suggested that, hey, spread spectrum would be a better way to do that, and not only in being able to talk to one another, but mostly for reduction of interference with one another.
Interesting. Well, see, I'm getting a history lesson, too. See, it was a good thing I asked you a little about spread spectrum rather than dropping right into it. The one thing, you know, spread spectrum, now that you're saying it's been around for that long, and one ham wrote about it in 59, it's strange that it's taking this long to get into amateur radio, per se, when you consider that amateur radio, one of our purposes is to expand and for us to actually push the envelope. Now, there's my music. When we come back, I like to dwell on that a little bit and then talk about the benefits for amateur radio of spread spectrum. 1-800-293-5366. 1-800-293-5366. We'll be right back. So have you called Ken Nichols, WA7HXZ, yet? The fleet director of Earnhardt Dodge, the largest Dodge dealer in the world. Doesn't matter if you live in Florida or Chicago or Phoenix or Maine or California, wherever it is that you live, if you want the best price going on a vehicle today with no hassles, no boiler room tactics, just the best deal you can get, Ken Nichols is the guy to call. Just give him the name of the model that you want, the make that you want, the options that you want. He'll give you the list price and the selling price right there over the phone. There's no hassle. It's a pleasure to do business with Ken Nichols. I'm telling you, don't make a mistake by not calling him. Call him. Get a quote. Doesn't matter. Give him a call. 1-800-497-8740. Extension 580. Make sure you mention Ham Radio and More. He's a ham radio operator, has been around for a long time, and has sponsored this show for over 5.5 years. That's Ken Nichols, 1-800-497-8740, extension 580. 1-800-497-8740, extension 580. Factory direct to you, the lowest prices.
During radio's 75-year history, there were several ill-conceived shows. One such show was Dr. Antoine Sorbet, radio contortionist.
I will now bend my head between my legs, pushing the nose on my face up to touch my shoulder blades. Now my left arm up between my chin and chest and grasp my right elbow. I will try that once more.
This show aside, you'll find virtually every other radio show and personality from radio's beginning to the present in Blast from the Past, a pictorial history of radio's first 75 years by B. Eric Rhodes. 478 pages, over 900 rare photos make this book the nostalgia book of this year or any year.
I will now tuck the toe of my right foot under my left ear. I will try that once more.
The faces, the shows that make up radio's first 75 years, Blast from the Past.
Call with your credit card handy, 800-228-5500, $39.99 plus shipping. That's 800-228-5500.
Want to get your personal finances going in the right direction? You can with Getting Going, the Wall Street Journal software that helps you organize your investments and answer your basic personal finance questions. With just a few clicks of your mouse, you can learn more about the best place to invest your savings, how big a mortgage you can afford, or where you should invest your child's college fund. But that's just the beginning. There's also an investment organizer and other tools to guide you to meeting your financial goals. Best of all, Getting Going is free with your paid subscription to the Wall Street Journal. For just $3.90 a week, you can have the journal delivered to your home or office for 10 weeks. That's 10 weeks of all the business news that could have an impact on your career, your family, your life. And you'll receive Getting Going software to help get your finances going on the right track.
So call now, 800-228-4420. That's 800-228-4420 for the Wall Street Journal.
CQCQ, this is Ham Radio and More.
1-800-293-5366. 1-800-293-5366 is our number. Ham Radio and More. My name is Len Winkler, KB7LPW. We're talking to Stephen Bible and 7HPR about spread spectrum and how it relates actually to amateur radio. Now, Steve, amateur radio is one of our, guidelines or our missions is to lead in technology. If spread spectrum came in the 40s and in 1959 one ham talked about it, why is it taking to 1997 before hams are using it at all? And then we have to get special okays from the FCC, etc., to even utilize it.
Well, I think what you're alluding to, of course, is special temporary authorizations, mm-hmm. which there's been several of them. The first one was with AMRAD. AMRAD is another fine experimental organization out of Washington, D.C., and that's when Paul Rinaldo, W4RI, got the idea to start experimenting with spread spectrum, and AMRAD in the summer of 1980 got the first STA, Special Temporary Authorization. And, of course, all of their experimentation is chronicled in the ARRL Spread Spectrum source book and all of their newsletters and experimentation and past QST articles. And even today, there are two STAs. One's the BUOS STA, and the other, of course, is the TAPR STA. Part of the reasons for the STAs I guess I have to back up one little bit. The reason why we had to have the STA in 1980 is because there was no rules in the FCC rules and regulations for spread spectrum. So they had to get an STA just to even go out on that new mode of modulation because it just wasn't in the rules. Today we're asking for STAs because the rules that did come out for amateurs, that the first amateur rules were 1985, are still quite restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
They only allow frequency hopping or direct sequence, no hybrid, meaning a combination of the two. The spreading codes that I alluded to in my description of frequency hopping and direct sequence, the pseudo-random code, were only allowed by the present rules, three codes. Well, there's almost an unlimited number of codes. There's actually a finite number, many of which are not so good, many of which are better, and yet amateurs are only allowed to use three. Well, then what we do is we go out with the STAs and ask permission to go beyond the rules. We specify how we want to do that and why we want to do it, and of course then we want to document our experimentation. The Tapper STA, along with the BUAS STA, asked for and was granted immunity from the requirement of having the three spreading codes. In other words, allow the spreading codes. This way we could take commercial off-the-shelf equipment or even design equipment from scratch and not be restricted to that and allow us to experiment with different codes and see the benefits of those. So there's just one example of why we're getting the STAs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have a caller. I just want to take this real fast. It's kind of an interesting thing. Rod in Clinton Township, Michigan. You're on Ham Radio and More. Go ahead, Rod.
Yes, sir. A few weeks ago, I was listening to the radio, and I turned on Paul Harvey, and he had a story that probably went on for close to 10 minutes about spread spectrum. And what he claimed was that during the, I believe it was during wartime or possibly a little bit before that, it may have even been in the 30s, that Hedy Lamarr had come up with this idea of spread spectrum, and had something to do with the transmission of music over radio, and that it was also used, after she came up with this idea, it was used in during wartime for radio. And then after that period, she actually received some type of patents on this technology.
Interesting. You know anything about that, Steve?
Yeah, he's absolutely correct. The actress Hedy Lamarr, which of course is her stage name, her and a companion actually sat in their living room and came up with this idea because they wanted to be able to help the war effort. And being the artists that they were, they used the analogy of a piano roll for that spreading code that I mentioned earlier. And they came up and drew up all the specifications for what is basically a frequency hopping system and actually applied for the patent and received it. So there's where she gets the credit for the first spread spectrum patent.
Okay, hold on a second. We got to take a station identification. We'll be back in 10 seconds after this. Okay, we're back. Station identification done. And go ahead, Steve.
Okay, and as far as I know, I don't know if that patent actually generated experimentation or products after that, but she does get the credit for that. And I think the interesting thing is that Hedy Lamarr immigrated to the United States from Austria, and there was quite a bit of suspicion against her for that, given that, of course, the World War at the time. But still, she wanted to be one of those that was trying to help with the war effort, and it's quite a fascinating history. And perhaps the best documentation of that history is in an IEEE communications journal. I believe it's the May 1985 issue, and it chronicles all of that.
Interesting. Well, Rad, thank you. That was an interesting history note.
Well, thanks for clarifying it, because I really wasn't sure. I know that most of the subjects that Paul Harvey does discuss, I have checked out some of them that seem pretty fantastic, and he's always been right.
Yeah, I think he has such an audience that he better be right. that if he's not, he's going to get a few letters.
Well, thanks for clarifying that.
Thanks, Rob.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, 1-800-293-5366. All right, what will benefit us in amateur radio for having Spread Spectrum?
Well, certainly it'd be another one of those tools in our toolboxes. I think, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, I'm an experimenter. I like to do things that are new and exotic. And, of course, when I was a youngster, first getting started in amateur radio, everything was new and exotic. Mm-hmm. And it's a fascinating hobby where you can go about and learn about CW and single sideband and FM and, of course, packet and stuff like that. Spread Spectrum holds with it a unique fascination in that the modulation technique is so unique, as we've described before. It really is quite easy to implement it. However, the receive side of it, of course, is the hard thing.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand with CW, you learn CW, you get your key or whatever, and you hit CQ, and someone's going to come back to you somewhere,
mm-hmm.
or on Packet or Amtor or RIDI or Pactor or any of these
mm-hmm.
modes. But on Spread Spectrum, no one, they can't follow you unless they have the same algorithm, right?
Well, that's true. You would have to know what spreading code another person is transmitting in order to receive it. But, I mean, that's what it is. It's a new paradigm, I mean, to abuse the the phrase, in that hams are so used to taking that tuning dial in hand and tuning across there listening for CQs. And for packet, well, we've channelized the 2-meter band. We know where to go to get to packet. Otherwise, you just don't, dial across there hoping you hear something. So in the sense of Spread Spectrum, what we will do is we will actually tune our radios to a center frequency, which everybody's tuned to, and then start selecting different spreading codes. And I'm sure that as hams start getting more into Spread Spectrum, there's going to be certain spreading codes that are favored. The unfavorable ones will just cause too much interference with one another. In other words, they don't have good cross-correlation properties, whereas we'll discover the ones that do and stick with them.
Now, quickly, because I'm going to take a real short break, are we normally talking a single sideband in this case?
No, Spread Spectrum is predominantly digital. If we want to go voice,
mm-hmm.
then we would have to do an analog-to-digital conversion, send it over Spread Spectrum, and then receive it on the other side.
Okay, we got to take a break. We'll be right back to Ham Radio and more after this 5-second timeout. If you're just joining us, this is Ham Radio and More, and I'm Len Winkler, KB7LPW. And today's show, we're talking about Spread Spectrum technology. Steve Bible is my guest, N7HPR. And one important announcement is next week, we're going to be live at 2200 UTC, live at 2200 UTC on, if you're listening to us on shortwave, WWCR, please tune to 12160. That's 12160 instead of 5070. If you don't hear us on 12160, go back to 5070 just in case. But 12160 is where we should be next week. Our phone number today, 1-800-293-5366, 1-800-293-5366. If you have a question about Spread Spectrum, I advise you to call in now because, otherwise you'll call in at the end of the show and won't have time to discuss what you have questions about. Okay, Steve, we were discussing Spread Spectrum, and I guess no voice, huh? It's going to be too difficult to do that.
Well, no, it you can do voice. It's just that Spread Spectrum, like I said, is predominantly digital,
mm-hmm.
especially the direct sequence. Frequency hopping, I'd have to take a look at it, but typically we do that digitally also. Now, perhaps I should say that one of the other big benefits to Spread Spectrum is its speed. We're used to packet now that's mostly 1,200 bits per second.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are set up for 9,600 bits per second, and then those intrepid few are up at 56 kilobits per second. Well, if we could get spread spectrum, believe it or not, will get us all the way up to 1 megabits per second.
But that's almost internet speed. What is
that's
internet?
That's beyond most people's access to the internet is 14.4 kilobits per second. We're talking 1 megabits per second. If hams were to get together with spread spectrum and set up a point of presence, so to speak, where there's a central node spread spectrum transceiver and everybody else in the outlying area has spread spectrum, yeah, they could dial in, and not even through the phone lines, and there'd be no toll charge whatsoever, and they would have speeds that are much higher than those even possible on the phone lines until you start getting into the ISDN. So with those high speeds, we're talking not only digital in the sense of packet and email, but we're talking digital in the sense of World Wide Web, Internet, we're talking video, See You, See Me, voice, you name it.
Okay. We're going to have to take a break. When we come back, I wanted to briefly touch on the people, just your comments on the negativism that some people might have for spread spectrum, those few and far between, or is it really a large group, or is it just a few vocal people? And then we'll go to the phones. I see that we have somebody, we have Mike in Jacksonville, Florida, and then we have, I see we have somebody asking about shortwave. I don't know. We'll see about that. Okay, we'll be right back to Ham Radio and more. 1-800-293-5366. 1-800-293-5366. We'll be right back. Len Winkler here for EDCO Electronic Distributors. Wow, what a group of products do they have from around the world. Look at the AR8000 or some of Daiwa power supplies and SWR-PWR meters. How about Watson scanner antennas and maybe a couple of other accessories? They've got the AR2700 and so many more products. It's just amazing. Until you get their catalog, you really don't have a real comprehension for all the products that EDCO has. Give them a call at 1-800-344-0397. Okay, write it down. 1-800-344-0397. If you're a scanner enthusiast, if you need power meters, whatever you need, EDCO has it. 1-800-344-0397. Tell them that you heard about it on Ham Radio and more and ask them to send you a free catalog. They'll do that. 1-800-344-0397. Call them today. That's EDCO.
Here's a great offer from Internet World, the most widely read magazine for Internet users. Whether you're a beginner just logging on or an advanced user, Internet World will serve as your guide to the Internet. Every issue of Internet World brings you the latest hot sites on the Internet, tips on downloading free software like the hit game Doom, plus information-filled columns and fascinating interviews with Internet personalities. Internet World shows you how to do research on the Internet, shop online, play games, meet people with mutual interests, and much more. In short, Internet World gives you all the information you need to help you make the most of your time on the Internet. Internet World, the first and largest magazine devoted entirely to the Internet. New subscribers can now take advantage of this special introductory offer. 12 monthly issues for only $14.97. That's 75% off the newsstand price.
Call now, toll free, 800-706-7900. That's 800-706-7900.
Len Winkler here for Amateur Radio Trader Magazine, the Ham Radio Marketplace. 64 pages, twice a month, with the greatest ads, the greatest information that you can possibly look for. It's amazing. You would think that this was just a magazine that had buy and sell equipment. But no, there are all kinds of informative articles, from Simpleton's Guide to Quickie Antennas or Emergency Antennas or Guide to Working All States. So many different things. And you can get a subscription by calling 1-800-77-HAM-AD. Or you can place an ad in their section of classifieds. The merchandise just sells rapidly. I'm telling you, you will be surprised at how fast it actually sells. Give them a call at 1-800-77-HAM-AD. Mention that the Ham Radio and More show told you to call 1-800-77-HAM-AD. Amateur Radio Trader, twice a month, 1-800-77-HAM-AD, 1-800-774-2623. Call now.
CQCQ. This is Ham Radio and More with your host, Lynn Winkler, KB7 LPW.
You know, I find it interesting that if I continue to do shows on should Morse code be a requirement, or does the ARRL doing all it should, or is contesting good for this hobby and service, et cetera, et cetera. Then I get all these technical people who say, you never have technical stuff. You never have technical. Then when I do a technical show, the calls come in one, two at a time. They're so slow. But when I do a Morse code call show, the lines are busy from beginning to end. So, you know, all you people out there who want these technical shows, you're not proving that you really want them. Unless, of course, what we're talking about is so interesting to you that you don't want to butt in and ask a question yourself. But really quickly, 1-800-293-5366, 1-800-293-5366. Steve, I know that the people who are interested in weak signal work are complaining that spread spectrum technology will destroy their hobby. What is your answer to that?
Well, that's kind of a tough one to answer. I would love to say unequivocally, you know, no, absolutely not. At the same time, I'm not ready to sit there and say absolutely yes. We're going to go out there and thrash you and totally butt you out type. There's, of course, a lot of thought that there's not enough room for all the different types of modes and spectrum and stuff for each of the hams and stuff. But what the weak signal people are worried about is, of course, as I described what spread spectrum was, the ability to spread out the signal very wide. But at the same time, it's at a very low power density. Well, the weak signal people take their hobby very seriously in the sense that when we're talking weak signal, we're talking many hundreds of dBs minus dBms. You know, we're listening way down in the noise, okay?
Right.
And they really pride themselves with that, which, quite frankly, they should, and they do a great job of that, and it's really quite fascinating, and I, in fact, enjoy it, too. I'm an avid VHFer and UHFer, too. So their worries are that once the spread spectrum stations all get more there are many more of them.
Prevalent.
Yeah, prevalence, the word I'm looking for, is that now they're going to raise the noise floor. Okay, in other words, now all this spread spectrum hash is going to start raising noise floor. And, of course, it's going to make it much more difficult for them to be able to communicate with one another. Probably the best, I don't know how to answer that, but given the fact that the weak signal people are at the very ends of the band, usually at the very beginning of the band, it would be very easy to be able to set up your spread spectrum to where it doesn't even tread into that area. And therefore doesn't interfere with them.
Well, basically what I hear you saying is that they have some legitimacy to their complaints, and somewhere along the line it's going to have to be worked out, but as everything else,
it needs to be worked out on in a more practical area. What we've gotten to is that, of course, the spread spectrum advocates are trying to release some of the restrictions in the rules, okay? Mm-hmm. There are new set of FCC rules that are up for comment right now. And right now, so much that we would like to do, our hands are tied without the STAs, the Special Temporary Authority. All we're asking is to try to say to the FCC, please, you know, untie our hands, allow us to go out there and experiment, and then as hams are probably the best known for, they're able to take that theory and put it to practice and actually prove whether or not we can share the bands with everybody else in a non-interfering basis.
Try to make everybody happy.
Well, right now, the rules as they read right now, and the rules as they are going to read in the new comment that is coming out, spread spectrum must not, and I'll read directly from it, must not cause harmful interference to stations employing other authorized emissions and must accept all interference caused by stations employing other authorized emissions. So there you go. It's in the rules today, and it's going to be in the rules in the future.
Okay.
That, you know, we're kind of second-class citizens already on the bands, but we don't anticipate that our mode is going to interfere with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we've got, I must have caused a ruckus because everybody's online now. So let's go right to Mike in Jacksonville, Florida, KE4KNE, you're online.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Mike.
I got about maybe three questions I'd like to ask. Basically, it seems like this would be better suited for like the microwave bands.
Comment, Steve?
Okay, suited to the microwave bands. Actually, spread spectrum is, I wouldn't say, favors one band over another. I mean, there's no particular frequency that it does better at. Perhaps the Part 15 devices, which are also spread spectrum, they're from 900 megahertz on up. Presently, the rules have us at 420 megahertz and up. So right now, there's no HF or VHF spread spectrum, and the rules right now are even proposed.
Okay, Mike's.
Okay, well, how about, like, interference, like the people that's existing up there? I mean, how would this, I know you were talking earlier, you know, we all accept the interference, of course, but, I mean, just basically, how would this actually be coordinated?
Well, how would you know somebody's interfering?
Right.
Okay, well, obviously, you have to identify yourself, and under the present rules right now, you have to identify yourself either by modulating the spread spectrum signal in a CW sense, or you send out a CW signal. The other requirement for a spread spectrum user is to log all of his emissions and all of the technical specifications about your emissions, and then you have to keep those for a year. I know that doesn't help out, you know, on who's transmitting right now when. There's been a lot of discussion about how that should happen.
Okay, and your third point, Mike?
Well, I've seen some of the commercial equipment that's out there. Why is it so expensive?
Well, that's a good question right there. I think the inclination, of course, to the answer to that is because it's so many people feel that it's a new technology. Well, Part 15 came into existence in 1985, the same time the hams were allowed to do spread spectrum. And of course, now you start seeing a lot of what we call Part 15 devices on the market now, the 900 megahertz wireless phones, cordless phones, audio speakers, home security systems, medical monitoring devices, utility readers, you name it. In fact, an interesting statistic is that there's over, there's several hundred companies that are actually developing this stuff. Well, they have, of course, a great deal of research and development put into this, and, of course, it's not a thoroughly widespread market, so it hasn't gotten down to consumer prices yet. So that's why you see the prices as high as they are right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Paul in Van Alstyne, Texas, K1PKZ. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's Van Alstyne, Len. We're close enough.
Van Alstyne. You know me. I can't read. Go ahead.
That's okay. I can't write either sometimes.
Okay.
But maybe you can educate me a little bit here. I'm real curious because my understanding has always been that as you increase bandwidth, the noise figure increased because of the fact that there's a lot of radio noise out there, and obviously as the bandwidth increased, the noise figure increased. So how do we handle the signal-to-noise problems? And secondly, if you could comment on maybe what the dwell time is. Are we talking milliseconds, nanoseconds, or...
Okay, Steve?
Okay, well, we got two questions here, and one is signal-to-noise ratio. And, in fact, that's kind of a bad measure when it comes to spread spectrum. In fact, what we choose to use is what we call the EBNOL, the actually bit per noise ratio.
Okay.
And it's called EB over N0, and the EB is the amount of energy, the E is the energy, the B the bit, divided by the noise, which of course occupies that space for that bit. So what we do is we talk about doing EBNOL, and we measure the amount of energy the bit has per the noise. So we don't think of in terms of signal to noise ratio, because you're right in that respect. The other is we have to go back to the Shannon-Hartley theorem, which states that...
You got to hold that thought, and we're going to go into commercial. When we come back, you got to hurry this up because we're going in our last segment. Everybody calls near the end. So hold on. We'll be right back to Ham Radio and more.
When you're playing golf, what should you see when looking at the target? Do you pull with the left or push with the right? What's a good bunker shot sound like? The answers are in Golf Digest. No matter how well you play, you'll find tips and advice in every issue that will dramatically improve your game, guaranteed. Want to know if you're good enough to carry a 4-iron or where the slot is at the top of your backswing? Do you want to know what the right grip feels like? Then you must subscribe to Golf Digest. Like to know which new ball can really take strokes off your game? Or where the most affordable new courses are? It's all in Golf Digest, the world's most widely read golf publication. You'll get 12 issues of Golf Digest for only $19.77, plus a full money-back guarantee if it doesn't improve your game. Subscribe now and get our valuable video. Hit it longer and straighter, absolutely free.
Call now, 800-231-6600. That's 800-231-6600.
Consumer Reports has a great deal for you.
How great is it?
It starts with our 1997 buying guide. Not $8.95, but free.
Wow!
And when it's ready, the 98 guide is a special bonus.
Double wow!
Plus, how to clean practically anything. And $11.95 value for free. And you get them all, along with the next 12 issues of Consumer Reports magazine. Not at the newsstand price of $66.25.
How much?
Just $24. Every month, Consumer Reports overflows with money-saving shopping advice, news about new products, and product recalls, everything from cars and refrigerators to computers and groceries. And the Consumer Reports buying guides are a handy shopping reference. Get all this, plus how to clean practically anything. A $66.25 retail value for just
$24.
So call now and have your credit card ready if you prefer.
Call 1-800-358-8888. That's 1-800-358-8888. Free and bonus books with paid subscription. Call now, 1-800-358-8888. It's a great deal from Consumer Reports.
Have you outgrown your current position, run out of rungs on the corporate ladder, or suddenly find yourself unemployed? Then it's time to look in the National Business Employment Weekly, America's most comprehensive job search and career guidance publication. Look in the NBEW and you'll find top jobs with top companies, ads for sales and marketing professionals, corporate chiefs, and information technology, even new business and franchise opportunities. When it's time to look, look in the National Business Employment Weekly. Pick it up at your newsstand today, or call now and get 8 issues for just $38. With your paid subscription, you'll also receive free The Job Search Guide, filled with valuable tips to help you win the job you're looking for. That's 8 issues of high-paying jobs and the guide for only $38 for new subscribers only.
Call now, 1-800-223-1100. That's 1-800-223-1100 for the National Business Employment Weekly.
CQCQ, this is Ham Radio and More.
Remember next week to tune us in live on shortwave 2200 UTC on 12160. Okay, Steve, you were answering Paul's question. We're down to like 3.5 minutes.
Okay, it'll be real quick, Paul.
Okay.
But if you want to try to read up on it, get the ARRL Handbook, the 1995 issue, and go to page 1257. And what you're doing is the Shannon-Hartley theorem says that the bandwidth along with the log of the signal-to-noise ratio tells you what your capacity is going to be. And a couple of things are happening here. We're trading power for bandwidth. Okay, so therefore, we can use a lower power and use the much wider bandwidth. That's why it tends to be down in the noise, as we so to speak. GPS, for example, the signal at the antenna at your receiver is usually a minus 160 dBW.
Wow.
The other thing is that the intricacy of the circuitry, okay, given that, you know, if this was easy to do, we'd all have spread spectrum in our hands today. We don't. It's because the synchronization process in the receiver is the most difficult part. If you can think about transmitting in this coded sequence, if the receiver, and you know exactly where that signal is going to be each moment, okay, then you will be able to collect that information more intelligently.
Exactly.
That's how you can start receiving signals that are actually down in the noise.
Okay.
To answer your second question on dwell time, we're talking microseconds.
Ah, okay? Well, that'll simplify a lot of it then.
Okay, I'm going to try to get these others on. Okay,
thank
Paul,
you.
Thank you. Bye. See, everybody calls at the last second. Fast Mike in Reading, Pennsylvania, N3TVP. Mike, are you still there?
Well, Len?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Bill.
Oh, Bill, I'm sorry, in Richfield, Connecticut, N1NIK. I'm sorry, right. The other person hung up. Go ahead.
Okay, very quickly, I've got the questions written down. What would it take and how much would it cost to set up a local Net 44 mode? And since this operation would require specialized equipment, can we get any relief from the packet type rules that are currently...
less than a minute, Steve.
In use under Part 97.
Okay. Right now, there's a new set of rules for spread spectrum that are in a comment period right now. If you go to the Tapper website, www.tapr.org, and go to the spread spectrum page, you can read about that. The cost right now using current off-the-shelf technology is about $800 per node. Okay, and that'll get you 1 megabit per second right now. I mean, just make a phone call, order it, get it there. You would have to operate under the Tapper STA in order to use it because the Part 97 rules don't allow it right now, or just simply use it under Part 15. But, of course, we want to be able to use more power we want to use a bigger antenna. Part 15 only allows you to use small antennas.
Okay, Bill, I gotta go on that. What I want you to do is, one, if people want more information about spread spectrum, I recommend that they go on the web to www.tapr.org. That's the Tapper webpage, and it's got all kinds of information about spread spectrum. If you want to talk to Steve on the web, send it to his call sign, n7hpr@tapper.org, tapr.org. Steve, that's all the time we have. I told you this hour is going to go fast.
Boy, it sure did.
I thank you. We'll have you again.
Okay.
Okay, if you're willing, we'll do it again.
Sure enough.
Okay, thanks a lot. Have a happy holiday to everybody. And 73, we're QRT to 12160 next week. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
'73s and '88s, thank you for listening to Ham Radio and More with your host, Lynn Winkler, KB7 LPW. Listen again next week for the next transmission of Ham Radio and More.